Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Thanksgiving meditation, an application to our life of Thanksgiving, is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, the reason for our thanksgiving to fellow redeemed. Thanks for nothing. Ever heard that? Perhaps you were going to help your friend, your neighbor, and you go over there and everything you do turns out bad and you make the situation worse and he goes, "Thanks for nothing." Or maybe you as a wife are making the meal. There's the tables and you wait for your children or your spouse to help. And finding frustration, you say, "Gee, thanks for nothing, everyone." Well, tonight, in our sermon text, we hear of two men who came to the temple to pray. Two men to give thanks to God, and they both said, "Thanks for nothing." But they meant just the opposite of each other. What did the Pharisee pray? "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." He was really saying, "Lord, thanks for nothing." It was a prayer of thanksgiving. It was a prayer of self-praise. Five times this man says the pronoun "I." His prayer was a boast, bragging, not giving thanks. In essence, he was saying, "Lord, it sure is big of me to bow down and worship you, acknowledge you, and take the time to give you thanks. And let me tell you how good I am. Let me tell you how much I've done for you. I'm not like other people, sinners that they are. I'm a good person. I fast twice a week. I give a tithe of all that I own. So really, I don't need you. Thanks for nothing." This Pharisee actually thought that he was different from all the rest of the world. That he was not a sinner like all the other sinners. In fact, he thought he had done more than he needed to do. The Mosaic Law demanded that the people give a tithe of their produce, a tithe of their crops, a tithe of their herds and flocks. He gave a tithe of all that he owned. And he fasted twice a week and was proud of it. Fasting symbolized humility. It was to picture repentance and godly sorrow in the heart. This man turned his fasting into work righteousness, an advertisement of his holiness, of his faith. He didn't fast in the heart at all. He truly believed that he was good enough to meet and exceed God's moral standards. And he wanted to make sure that God knew all about what he had done. His prayer of thanksgiving was as if God needed him more than he needed God. And so he asked God for nothing, and he thanked God for nothing. Thanks for nothing, God. I've done it all myself. The other man in the temple, the tax collector, he also prayed to God. He also talked about himself. He also said, thanks for nothing. But he meant something completely different. The tax collector prayed, short and to the point, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We told the man, the tax collector, stood far off, probably in the back of the temple. He didn't even feel like he was worthy to stand in front of such good people like the Pharisee or other good members of the congregation there. His eyes didn't even lift up to heaven. He wasn't fit to even call upon God. With downcast eyes, he looked at his heart and he saw his heart as God's law saw it, sin-filled. He was a poor, miserable sinner. He could not, nor did he try, to excuse himself, to justify his sins. He didn't compare himself to anybody else to try and look better in his own eyes. He was honest with himself. And he said, I have nothing to bring you, Lord. Nothing to offer. Nothing which to boast about. Nothing which to brag about or praise himself for. And this is the only thing that he had learned to do. He threw himself upon the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In other words, thank you, God, for I have nothing. I am nothing. And yet you will and you do have mercy on me. You have forgiven me for Jesus' sake. This the tax collector was completely sure of. The word mercy here means to propitiate. It's a big word. And that means to remove anger, to cause someone to be favorable. This tax collector knew that Jesus had been sent into this world to be his propitiation, his atoning sacrifice, his satisfactory payment, so that all of the anger and wrath and condemnation of God would be removed from off of him. Jesus Christ came into the world to pay the debt he owed, so that he would have peace between God and himself, a sinner. We heard it last Sunday. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So two men went to the temple to pray. Both prayed. Both thanked God. But we're told only one went home justified. That is, declared not guilty, righteous, innocent in God's sight. Which one? The world would say, I know. It's that the first one. The one that was really a good person. The one that talked about his goodness. Wrong. No. Wasn't the one that bragged about himself. Wasn't the one that thought he was so good and better than everybody else. It was one who acknowledged, the one who thanked God that he had nothing. He thanked God that he had nothing to bring before God. No goodness of his own. But what he received from his Savior was priceless. He thanked God that he had been given a Savior from all of his sins. A Savior who had lived that perfect life of obedient love for him and then died that sacrificial death upon the cross for him. In Christ, he who had nothing realized that he had everything. And so we've come to God's house this evening. to also pray and to thank God. To thank God, not ourselves. That's why we began this evening's worship service with a confession of our sins. To once again remind ourselves that we have nothing to bring before God. We don't even deserve to stand in His presence and acknowledge a thanksgiving. We came before Him knowing that we can't satisfy Him. We can't appease His wrath. We can't stop His condemnation. We have anything to offer God at all. And yet we came before our God knowing that Jesus has been our propitiation too. He has been the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He has been the satisfactory payment so that our debt has been paid in full. And that is why we sang, I cried to Him in time of need, Lord God, oh hear my calling. For death He gave me life indeed, and kept my feet from falling. For this my thanks shall endless be, oh thank Him, thank our God with me. To God all praise and glory. And yet, because of our sinful natures, even on this Thanksgiving Eve, as we come before God and we thank and praise Him for all His many blessings He's given to us, sometimes our sinful heart says, you know, those blessings are really kind of a reward for my being so good, for my prayers, for my offerings, for all I've done around the church, for being better than others, for my worshiping God. Sometimes our sinful heart tells us that we should compare ourselves to others. And we always compare them to people that we think are worse than us. Sometimes we even look down upon others because they've done such terrible things in public. Or we self-righteously thank God for our humility. Thank God I'm so humble. Everything we have in this life is a gift of God's grace. We came with nothing into this world. We'll have nothing when we leave. Everything we receive between life and death is given to us by a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. What does Martin Luther say in his meaning to the first article? God does all this because He is my good and gracious Father in heaven, not because of anything I have done to earn or deserve it. And for all of this, it is indeed our privilege and our duty out of love to thank and praise and serve and obey Him. So this evening, tonight we thank God for nothing. Not like the tax collector. We don't need anything, God. Thanks for nothing. But I'm not like the Pharisee, I should say, but like the tax collector. Thank you, God, that I have nothing to bring to you. Nothing but my own sins to lay before you. But what I receive from you has made each of us richer than anyone could ever imagine. Simply clinging to Christ. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. May our closing prayer this evening without be the prayer that tax collector said as he walked out of that temple, justified. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for being merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.